Hi, everybody. Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of the Iron Hack Podcast. I am DevOps Dan.
I'm Ternary Tim. Welcome, Dan, to this episode, as I was flying solo.
Yeah, thank you for the welcome. As the more perceptive listeners might have figured out, I wasn't in this episode. You did it without me. So tell me and the audience who you interviewed and what happened.
Well, we had a very interesting guest on this week. We had the new general manager of the Puerto Rico campus.
Wow.
Yanisha. Right. Yeah, she's starting that journey with Iron Hack. It's their first ever boot camp that's being run on the island. And we walked through what that looks like, the tech scene in Puerto Rico, where that journey started, Yanisha's kind of journey through working at LinkedIn to living in Miami to working at Iron Hack. Very cool, interesting introduction to the campus.
A whole new leg, a whole new branch for Iron Hack.
A whole new world, a whole new fantastic point of view.
Cool. All right, well, then I'm very excited. I have a lot of questions right now, which I'm sure you asked, being the professional host that you are.
You ask the questions, and I'll see if I answer them.
Well, I mean, let's see. I don't want to spoil anything now for the audience.
Favorite color?
Well, I mean, the first boot camp. So how many students they have right away? How they seed the new city? How's it going? What are they teaching specifically? What are they teaching? Why is there an emoji popping up when you do that thumbs up? What's going on?
I've no idea. That was a bit weird, wasn't it?
I wonder if it's going to come in there.
Yeah.
Well, right, there you go. Cool. Well, Riverside must know. Well, Riverside, for those who are listening, is how we record this. So I hope you did ask those questions
before you get too sidetracked. Yeah, many more, my friend.
Yes. Enjoy this episode. This is going to be a look at Iron Hack's whole new corner of the world. Maybe you are in Puerto Rico and you are thinking of joining. This is that episode. And if you are those people, welcome to the Iron Hack Podcast. I'm Dan, this is Tim. We host it, as you can tell. Enjoy the episode.
Yes, my name is Janeta Perez. I'm the current general manager for Iron Hack Puerto Rico. But before that, I'm a born and raised Puerto Rican that has been living abroad for the last 7 years, and now is coming back home to pursue a dream of supporting Puerto Ricans.
Nice. And are you in Puerto Rico right now?
So as we speak, I'm packing my life in New York City. I'm flying on Monday with a one-way ticket with Delta. No sponsorship with Delta.
Other airlines are available. Okay, so you're going one way. This is like a big change then.
It's a big change. I never thought it was going to happen like this. But I knew I was going to go back home. I've been always passionate about doing something for the island. I've been working in tech myself, and I realized the island needed more opportunities. And I found the opportunity on LinkedIn. My previous employer was LinkedIn too. And now I'm coming back home with Iron Hack.
Nice. Okay, well, maybe we should jump into the kind of topic of Puerto Rico and the tech scene there. Would you say that there is a tech landscape in Puerto Rico, or maybe you could describe it a little bit for us if there is?
Yes, I think there are two things happening in Puerto Rico. First, we have a need of more tech talent in the island. We have like just only 2.8% of our workforce works in 21st century positions. What I mean by 21st century positions is that the current government right now has an initiative that the name is 21st Century Tech Force, that they are aiming to support 50,000 people to work in tech. Because compared to other economies, we just have 2.8% of people working in tech roles or tech-related careers, and other economies have 10%. So we're lagging behind on that. Also, we have a lot of people that left the island in the last 10 years. We had a big hurricane that happened in 2017, and almost a million people left the island. A lot of them during their ages of actually being part of the workforce, like young people, like working age Puerto Ricans.
Okay, cool. So as well as that kind of government initiative, are there any kind of other exciting initiatives and developments that have happened in Puerto Rico that might encourage more people to start thinking about moving there or working there or getting involved?
Yeah, definitely. So that's more the part of the need that we have in the island. Like, we need the tech, we need tech force, we need support, providing opportunities to our talent. But besides that, we have multiple organizations working to incentivize entrepreneurship and technology in Puerto Rico. We have around 42 different accelerators or incubators around the island that they're trying to support different sectors, and tech is one of those sectors that they support the most. I just joined IronHack like 1 month. Like, this is my first month with the company.
Shout out to IronHack.
Thank you. My monversary.
Yeah.
But something very cool that we did in my first month was doing an event in collaboration with other organizations. So we work with Popular, which is one of the banks in Puerto Rico. They did themselves a program with IronHack with 10 software developers, and they support us together with the Department of Economic Development of Puerto Rico to do an event in collaboration with Parallel 18, Grupo Guayacan, Endeavor Puerto Rico, and Emerge Americas, which is a conference in Miami, to put together different pitches from different startups in order to support two of those startups to pitch in Miami.
Nice. Okay.
What happened during my first month, because there is a big need to show what we're doing in the island, to connect these startups that are part of the accelerators and incubators with opportunities.
Ah, okay, cool. So you actually organized that event from New York, and then you...
Yes, and I flew to Puerto Rico.
Okay, very nice. And is there quite a big connection between what you'll be doing there and the IronHack campus in Miami as well?
Yeah, so we work very closely with the campus in Miami because we're very well connected in terms of like the amount of Latinos that are in Miami, plus what we're doing in the island. As part of the Popular project, we work for both, for San Juan and for Miami. But specifically for this event that we did it because we wanted to connect the ecosystem of IronHack in Miami with the ecosystem of IronHack in Puerto Rico. Because as Puerto Rico, we are part of the United States, so we receive incentives from federal government too, and incentives to for entrepreneurial experiences or innovation. And realize, as we are in both, like in IronHack Miami, IronHack Puerto Rico, we could connect both ecosystems, plus start building our ecosystem in the island. I'm a born and raised Puerto Rican, similar to our co-CEO, Ariel Quiñones. But at the same time, we wanted to connect our previous experiences with what we want to do in the island. Because besides what we do with the coding bootcamps and tech bootcamps, what we want to do is to open space for opportunities for companies to reskill, upskill their talent, but also for the talent to connect with entrepreneurship and really push innovation in the island. And there's some players already there, so we wanted to support them, so we connected all of them to do this event.
Okay, so I guess for people that may not know the IronHack ecosystem so well, that's like people who are maybe career boosters as well as career changers. So people who maybe work in the industry currently, but they want to do a coding bootcamp so they can be better operations people or things like that. Is that right?
Yeah, the event was a mix of four things: technology, innovation, education, and economic development. I think there were four pillars of the event. So besides having the pitches of the six startups that two got an award, we also had like a graduation for the first 10 Iron Hackers in Puerto Rico from Banco Popular. Plus, we invited students that are applying to our scholarships that we have for our coding bootcamps for data analytics, web development, and UX UI design in November. We connected everyone, and also we had other startups that joined, other leaders in tech, different companies, and sponsors, because they wanted to connect with talent, but also understand what's happening in the ecosystem. So we felt that we were enabling a space there, and we wanted to bring like the IronHack culture to Puerto Rico, because we want economic development, we want like students to educate themselves, we want companies to educate their talent and to train their talent. We want innovation, but we also want to have fun. So we make it, we made like a good, a nice space there. And we're aiming to keep doing this. We have events happening in December too.
Yeah, because I think that's something that we've, you know, mentioned on the podcast many times about this whole idea of community and how important it is to like embrace it. And people that might be on the fence about doing an Iron Hack bootcamp, I think that actually, you know, the role of community and engagement is so valuable. So it's really cool that you guys are kind of starting with that that kind of pillar and going from there. I think it'll definitely encourage people to join.
Yeah, definitely. Community in Puerto Rico is extremely important. As Puerto Ricans, we are very community driven. We, even like after hurricanes or after, you know, challenging times, we always get together and support each other. And that's how we have fun and how we thrive.
Yeah, nice.
So it's cool to connect that also now with Iron Hack.
That's very cool. And is that, is it going to be like in person first, or is it going to be remote first, or are you going to try and keep it kind of a hybrid between the two different options?
So the right answer is hybrid for the long term. For the short term, for the specific cohorts that we're launching now in November, they're going to be remote.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you mentioned as well a minute ago about the scholarship program. Could you go into a little bit of detail there? Because that sounds quite exciting for people who might want to apply.
Yeah, connected to working with the Department of Economic Development in Puerto Rico, we launched 25 scholarships for our different programs in November. So these will be covered by our scholarships, so the students don't need to pay for the tuition fee, and they can join our programs for 9 weeks, and they will get the support to then get a job in tech. I will personally support them to try to understand what's happening in the island that they can join. And we're not the only ones pushing for people to stay in Puerto Rico and, you know, create new opportunities or join opportunities in the island. Right now, we have a lot of people outside the island, but there are initiatives such as the Come El Comeback or Mofongo Jobs or other organizations that they're trying to show off the opportunities that we have in the island. For example, the El Comeback is an organization that they're trying to bring talent back to Puerto Rico by making sure that the talent outside the island understand and get to know about the opportunities in the island. And they were promoting our scholarships because maybe we have talent outside Puerto Rico that wants to come back, and they want to also educate themselves so they are more equipped with the right skills so they can use both platforms, El Comeback and Iron Hack. But also you have Mofongo Jobs. She is a tech, the founder. She's a tech background herself, and she realized that it was hard to connect with remote jobs from the island. And she created Mofongo Jobs as a platform to showcase opportunities that people can apply for that are remote from Puerto Rico.
Nice. Okay. So if I live anywhere in the world, can I apply for a scholarship in the Puerto Rican campus?
No. The reason why is this is in collaboration with the government of Puerto Rico, and our goal is to support Puerto Rican talent. So you need to be a resident of Puerto Rico.
Okay. I won't apply then. Damn it.
Yeah, I have a lot of people because I have been living abroad myself. I lived in New York before. I lived in Dublin, Madrid, and also have connections in LATAM. I have done some projects with Argentinian organizations. And some people were asking like, hey, do you have a scholarship for me as a Mexican, as a French person? I'm like, unfortunately, I don't. But if I know or I get to know about scholarships, I will let you know. And I do know that as of now, or at least last week, I know like Iron Hack France also had some scholarships in collaboration with a partner.
For nice, okay.
So FYI, if you're French and you're listening, check it out.
Yeah, that's a good tip. That's a good tip. And also, I guess it's cool because maybe it would encourage people to kind of do that digital nomad thing and spend some time in Puerto Rico and like learn there and then get involved with the, you know, if in the future, maybe there's a scholarship that comes down the line, that'd be very cool. Is that kind of a big part of what you want to set up there as well? That kind of like digital nomad community where people might, you know, visit Puerto Rico to actually learn and then spend more time there?
Our main goal is to close the tech gap in Puerto Rico. If that means supporting Puerto Ricans to close their own skills gap, that's what we're going to do. But also we're going to support companies to close the tech skills gap, because at the end, it's not just about the talent and getting them educated. It's also about the companies and the talent that they have access to grow from Puerto Rico. So if their companies are looking into growing to other markets, and that means bringing talent to Puerto Rico and supporting them with their skills, get the tech skills that they want, we're also supporting that. So we're supporting the growth of Puerto Rico in tech. And that means education for our people, for their gaps, but also for companies and also any person that is coming to Puerto Rico to educate themselves and to give back to the island.
It sounds like it's the start of a very long and hopefully rewarding kind of path. Are you excited?
I'm excited. I took a big risk taking this job. And what I mean by risk is that I'm changing my complete life. I was living in New York City, now moving to San Juan, Puerto Rico. I was working for LinkedIn before. Now I work for a company that I'm building on my own, basically. Because in LinkedIn, I was not the country manager for the US or for the country that I was managing or doing sales for, because my role was tech sales. But in Ironhack, I'm the first employee in Puerto Rico. So I have a big responsibility, and my job is to do everything. I do from videos for our paid ads, to running events for 100 people, to hiring our new growth manager, because we're hiring someone, to doing finances and legalities. I do everything. And that's very different from my previous 9-to-5. And both 9-to-5 are amazing, but I was craving something that was to allow me to grow and to give back. The reality is, in these type of jobs, you have the opportunity to feel the impact every single day. Like, I am personally calling myself to the people that get the scholarship. And I get to know their stories. They go through our process of an exam, and they have the interview, but then I call them to really understand if we connect to the purpose that we have for these scholarships. Because these scholarships are for people that they don't know how to get a job in tech, that they're unemployed, that they're recent graduates, that they don't know how to actually get into the ecosystem because they don't have an example. So our goal is to open those opportunities for those people that they have the grit and the hustling, but they don't have the opportunity. So we want to be a platform for them. So before I assign scholarships, I call to understand that first, they understand what they're getting into, because as you know, Ironhack is not an easy experience. It's a challenging experience because it's also rewarding. And it will be like a short-term pain for the long-term gain. And I want to make sure that they understand that we are investing on them. So then we can connect them and match them with an employer. Because as I tell them, they need to help me help them. So they need to give their 300% to the bootcamp. They need to show their skills. They need to show up. So then I can connect them with future employers or companies that need their talent.
It's cool that you can be so hands-on with the students, because that's something that's like gold dust really for those people that are going to do those first few bootcamps. It's really cool.
Yeah. The reason why I'm doing that is we are launching in Puerto Rico, right? And I was myself in that position before. I got to tech through referral programs. It's not easy to get in tech. And sometimes it feels like everyone that is inside tech makes it look that it's easy, because of course we're inside. But it's not easy because sometimes we don't know how to pitch ourselves, right? You have the top skills. You have the hard skills. You know how to code. You know how to create a website, how to analyze data. You know about Python, JavaScript, etc. You know everything. But then when you go to the interview, maybe you miss out on how to pitch who you are or how to show to that hiring manager your intentions with the company. And it's a little bit about self-confidence, self-esteem, of taking the risk. So one of my personal goals is like teaching people the hard skills through the bootcamp, but also the soft skills of taking risk and owning their career path.
Yeah, nice. And I think even before that first step, you know, actually kind of being able to be part of a network and having somebody to connect you or help you connect and, you know, just showing you the ropes in that sense, I think is also very important. I recently changed job myself and, you know, I was on some forums and there were some really senior people looking for work. Like, you know, I'm a CTO, I'm a software architect and I'm looking for work. And I was messaging them and saying, oh, you know, how's it going? I'm, you know, thinking of moving too. And they were like, oh, it's so difficult out there. It's so hard. And I was like, oh, you know, how are you using your network? How are you working? And they were like, well, you know, I don't really have one to use. And I think that's a real kind of like secret. And we mentioned it before, but I really think that's so powerful with IronHack is the fact that you've got this network you can tap into and people like yourself, you know, where you can actually, you know, operate on behalf of students and really kind of like push them to that first rung. That's just so important because you can't really over exaggerate it, I don't think.
Yeah. 50% of graduates feel that they're not ready for the first job.
Really? Yeah. Good stat. I don't know that one.
That's part of the stat. And the other stat are hiring managers that feel that they're not ready. And it's not because they don't have the skills. It's just sometimes they're lacking more practical experience. And that's something that they get out of the bootcamp or internships or other type of programs. But COVID happened and COVID got people inside. So, you know, before you had a lot of job fairs, a lot of internship programs in person, people were traveling for these opportunities. But then we have like two, almost 3 years of everything being paralyzed. So now these stats are from 2021, 2022, but this is still relevant because we feel, and from conversations, that employers feel that they need more senior people, but some of the junior people, they don't have the experience in order to fast develop themselves. I don't know if you had the chance to see, but Slack, for example, they needed to stop business operations for a week in order for their employees to catch up with learning. Yeah, and that's super interesting because they realize if we stop operating, and this is what I'm assuming, but in the real part is that they stop operations for a week to make sure that their employees finish their learning programs. But one thing that I was thinking is they realize that they needed to stop for a week because that week will bring them more return than just keep business as usual without reskilling or upskilling their talent. So I'm not 100% sure, but I'm kind of sure that they realized they needed to invest in that week.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it goes, it kind of touches on two things there. First of all is, you know, you can't, it's easy just to think, oh, I'll just do this at the end of the day. I'm working full time, but I'll just do a bit of reading before I go to sleep. But I think if you really want to commit to like progressing and changing, you know, be that personally or be that as like a team or as a bigger company, like actually committing to, you know, that level of development is very, very important.
Yeah.
But it also shows you how like, I think it just shows you that it takes a lot of just like digesting and actually taking that information on board. You can't just think, oh, I'll read a couple of pages of a book, you know, and then know what I'm doing. It's just like, you know, a week is a very, that's a huge amount of money. That shows you how willing they are to invest it, or that's how committed they are. It's great.
Yeah, that was amazing. And it was connected. I don't have the specific stat, but I do know that a lot of companies know that they will have a skills gap now and also in the next years. Because education is great, but also we are going so fast with development of technologies, AI, blockchain, metaverse, you name it. There's like a million new apps that we need to learn in order to do a job that before was way more simple. So it's not the fault of anyone that we're lagging behind or lacking skills. It's just how the market and the economy has progressed so fast that we need to catch up. So it was great to see that Slack stopped in order for equipped their talent to then continue their business operations in the right way and with the right mindset and information. Because when you don't have the right information, you can waste time, and time is money.
So yeah, even if it must seem like a lot just to say, okay, a week, everybody's learning, but maybe in over the course of a year, you're probably going to do more of that anyway, of just like asking, going down the wrong path, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it makes total sense. I wanted to go back actually a little step, because you were talking about your big career change when moving from LinkedIn to working at Ironhack, and actually sounded the way that you described it a lot like, you know, your step from working at LinkedIn to then being like the, for want of a better word, like CEO of, you know, the Puerto Rico campus, doing everything for everybody. It sounds a lot like people doing an Ironhack, you know, course. You know, it's like they take their career and they take it in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
What advice would you have after sort of living the experience? What advice would you have for people who are thinking of doing it, or they're just about to take the plunge, or just to make it a bit more manageable?
Yeah. Change is never easy. But I have learned through my life and my decisions that the best thing that we have is to lose. And sometimes you need to lose. And what it means to lose. I lost LinkedIn, but I'm winning Ironhack. And that's an important mindset to have, because sometimes we're afraid of losing, but we don't realize about the opportunity cost. So imagine if I would stayed in my job, I would have lost the opportunity to have learned what I learned in 1 month already. I feel like this month that I have been in Ironhack is like a year already. Because I have done everything. I have done from creating a campaign with our marketing team, to working in the process to accept people to a scholarship, to working with our finances, sponsors, events, connecting with other organizations in Puerto Rico that they want to do similar things. I have done so much in a month that it feels that I have gained back like 2 years of experience in something else. And that's something that people forget sometimes. Like, there is opportunity cost of not doing something. So that's the first thing. Don't be afraid of taking a decision just because you don't know what will be the outcome. Because I'm sure whatever is going to be the outcome, there's going to be a great outcome. Because I'm going to give my 300% for this organization, because I really believe in what we're doing. When I left LinkedIn, I gave them a gratitude letter because they were my school. They were the ones that gave me a job after my master's degree. And I was showing gratitude to them. And I told them, like, I'm not going far away from you, because their mission is to connect the world with opportunities. My mission now is to connect Puerto Rican talent with opportunity. I'm just closing my circle of influence. You know, I was before having a circle of concern. I don't know if you know about that theory of the circle of concern and the circle of influence.
No, I don't.
The circle of influence is what you can influence easily, like your surroundings, your ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And your circle of concern are things that like impact you, but you cannot really influence. So for a long time, I had a circle of concern about Puerto Rico, and I was doing something for Puerto Rico. So when I decided to move with Ironhack, I closed my circle of concern and turned it to my circle of influence. So my advice to anyone that is taking a risk is that there is nothing better than taking a risk. And everything in life is about taking a risk. From dating to doing a data analytics bootcamp. You never know the outcome. And then you realize through dating that you're marrying someone, or through the data analytics that you're the best data scientist in the world. And just because you took that leap of faith. So that would be my advice. Like, don't be afraid of the outcome, because you don't know the outcome. And it could be 10,000 times better than you ever imagined.
And even if you do a data analytics course, you might meet the love of your life when you do it as well.
Yeah, you can get bold out of it.
Awesome. That's great advice. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Speaking about that, I want to really, for the Puerto Ricans listening, but also not Puerto Ricans, like, look for opportunities in your country, in your circle of influence. For example, in Puerto Rico, besides what the government is doing, besides what Parallel 18, Grupo Guayacán, Centro para Emprendedores, Colmena 66, the Puerto Rico Trust and Science Foundation, like, there are a lot of people doing a lot of things, but also there are some structures that are supporting things to happen. We have tax incentives for companies that want to work from Puerto Rico, but also for young people that want to be an entrepreneur. So some of the stories I'm already seeing happening, and one of my BHAG is that multiple of my students in IRHAC turn to be CTOs or founders of their own companies. Why? Because we have a law in Puerto Rico for young people that if they open a business, they can apply for it and not pay certain taxes. Yeah, so there are a lot of opportunities happening outside there. Tax incentives, but also programs to support people thrive in Puerto Rico. And that's something that I'm excited about, to also share not just the amazing things that we can do with IRHAC, but how to connect that with what's happening in the island.
Okay, cool. And on that note, actually, I think you touched on this before when we were talking, before we started recording, and I think it segues quite nicely into what you were just saying there, that, you know, technology is basically the economy, and it's not just like a tech sector, it's linked to every business. So maybe you could elaborate on that slightly. Because I think it might be quite a good kind of boost for people that are thinking, oh, you know, I want to work, I want to do something, I want to get involved, but I'm not sure how I can kind of mesh that with tech.
That's a great question, and something that I'm very passionate to, because when I was giving away the scholarships for data analytics, I was having conversations with El Centro de Estadistas Unidos, the CUT. They're supporting to promote our CUT or CUT, depending, in Puerto Rico we speak Spanish. And they were promoting our scholarships too. And we were having this conversation about why is data analytics relevant for a small company? And that's also why I'm connecting this with the statement that technology is economy, and it's not just a tech company like Meta, Google, Amazon, or the others. It's everything. It's because, and this was a study of McKinsey, that when companies use data analytics and they truly analyze their data that they generate from their website, from their campaigns, from their engagement with customers, they can really push their sales and revenue. And they found that companies using data analytics, they can increase their sales by 12%. And then you're like, yeah, but I'm a small company. Yeah, but if you have clients, you have an e-commerce, you are processing data. If you take the time to sit down, or you hire a talent from IRHAC or from other
there's no other companies, just IRHAC.
Students with the talent and the skills, this student, future talent, can sit down, analyze your data using the programs that they're learning with us, and maybe find opportunities to increase your sales and revenue.
Nice. And if that is a motivation to get involved, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. So that part also connected to the fact that technology is for everyone and for economy development. It's not just for these companies that are tech-based or software-based or hardware. No, it's for every company that processes data. And so far, I think, and maybe I need to confirm this data point, most of companies have certain amount of data being processed through their business. And not just that, that's the part of the business. Now, the part of our day-to-day life is every company needs tech now. Every company is in Google Maps. Every company has a website. Every company are trying to do campaigns, are trying to try to build a brand. They want to understand the demographics of their clients. So there's so many things that are like related to technology that I want to make people feel that technology is simpler than they think. Of course, we need to learn some specific technology in order to do our jobs. Like, not everyone can be a web developer or a software developer. They need to get the skills. But every company needs a software developer or a web developer.
even my brother-in-law, who is a farmer, he bought a new tractor recently and it broke down. And the guy who came out to fix it wasn't a mechanic. He just brought a laptop and plugged it straight in. So he was just, you know, fixing it with code. So yeah, there you go.
Every company, some of my clients, I was working before at LinkedIn with tech clients, but they were not tech clients. It's not like they were building something that was just software in the cloud. One of them was building a marketplace for ingredients and chemicals to make it accessible for others to buy, like for companies that they are producing something to buy the ingredients. And that's a very traditional thing. Like, for example, now you can buy gold online. You can invest in gold online. You don't need to own the gold. So everything is technology at the end. And we are moving towards that because I believe technology can save lives.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's, I think we're seeing it more and more. And I think that's, that's a very poignant point to end on. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to say or anything else you'd like to promote. But yeah, that was a great, I think, yeah, very awesome thought to end the interview on.
Yeah, so I think my call to action is educate yourself, be curious. And if you want to connect with Ironhack Puerto Rico, soon we will be launching our social media presence, and we will be having more events in order to connect and be enablers also for the ecosystem. We want to join what is happening in the island, and we want to make sure that we are opening opportunities for everyone. I personally believe in not being a gatekeeper. So I want to share all the opportunities. So if I have information that will support your business, that will support you as a student, or will help me to keep talent in the island to promote economic development and innovation, I'm here. You can find me in LinkedIn as Janisha Perez Padilla, or I also can provide my email if that's an option that we can add. Like, I'm open for conversation, open for business, and open for innovation. I think that's like a statement now that I'm building there. Open.
Open. Open for business. Nice. All right. Thanks so much.
No, thank you. This was very cool.